Welcome to the Nightly Five podcast with Ben O'Shea.
On today's show, the tragic suicide of a 10-year-old Indigenous boy in Perth has sent shockwaves all the way to Canberra. Plus, as New South Wales tries to heal from two acts of violence, its premier takes aim at social media platforms. Talking about social media platforms, I'll tell you why Elon Musk's Grok AI is causing problems. And former Collingwood great Nathan Buckley is being forced to sell prized memorabilia. We'll end the show today by unpacking why Rebel Wilson has cancelled her East Coast shows. In our top story today, the national fallout from a 10-year-old suicide in Perth.
A family is mourning the death of a 10-year-old Indigenous boy who took his own life while he was under the care of Western Australia's Department of Communities.
The tragic suicide of a 10-year-old Indigenous boy in Perth is resonating around the country today after news of the incident was broken by the Nightly yesterday. Federal Politics editor Katina Curtis is on the line. Katina, what has been the response in Canberra to this shocking event?
Ben, everyone I've spoken to has really just said it's just an awful story, which it is. We've seen Linda Burney, who's the Minister for Indigenous Australians, this morning tweeted that it was shocking, heartbreaking, and it demands deep reflection. And she said that her heart goes out to the family and community in WA that has lost their son here. And I think that generally is the sentiment that's been shared by politicians. Richard Marles, the Deputy Prime Minister, said similar things about this. Now, I guess the question, the broader question for politicians is, well, what has to happen next? Richard Marles said, you know, that really we do need to have different ways, look at ways to do business differently to close the gap. And some of those gap measures are around suicide and around children being removed from their homes. Lydia Thorpe, however, has come out in her typically forceful way, and she said that Linda Burney and the Prime Minister are failing to protect Indigenous children and they should be deeply ashamed to be hearing the news today. She's actually pointed out that the Bringing Them Home report from 1997, which was a fair time ago now, clearly pointed to the need for federal leadership, and she says that report needs to be taken off the shelf and actually have all the remaining recommendations in it implemented. Now, that's not a very new call from Lydia Thorpe. She's been talking about the Bringing Them Home recommendations and also recommendations from the examination of deaths in custody for a couple of years now, saying that governments need to get to and actually act on these things. But definitely some, I guess, renewed urgency to that call in the light of this awful news.
And the WA Premier, Roger Cook, whose government had care of this boy, he was in foster care at the time of his suicide, fronted the media today in Perth. He used words like tragic and horrible to describe it and said his government was looking into it. He said he would welcome an expedited coronial inquest into the death, but said that was a matter for the courts. What's your sense of the communication that the Albanese government is having with the Western Australian government to get information about this?
So I understand that Linda Burney was seeking a briefing from the WA government on what happened. I haven't managed to speak to her this afternoon to find out what she learned, but I guess we'll probably hear more from the federal government about whether there's anything more that they can do. There's certainly also appetite for starting to look at, you know, do we need to set up some kind of national ministerial council or start working on a national approach to child protection? Similar, I guess, to what we've seen, that there is a national approach on domestic violence and regular meetings of the ministers and organisations responsible, whether there needs to be something similar happen to look at reforming child protection systems.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, if there was an Indigenous voice to Parliament, it could be something that would be useful in a case like this. And I hope the outpouring of outrage from the community on this issue, you know, maybe causes a bit of self-reflection into how that referendum went. But certainly, as you say, Katina, I think there will be some reflection in Canberra about what can be done going forward to ensure that these types of tragic incidents become less common and kids at risk, especially Indigenous kids, get the care that they need. Federal Politics Editor Katina Curtis, thanks for sharing this update on The Nightly Five.
Good to talk to you, Ben.
This sea of flowers that have been laid here in Bondi Junction, candles have been lit. People have come here to, in solemn reflection, to pay their respects to those people who lost their lives, but also the workers who are here at Bondi Junction Westfield.
The Bondi Junction Westfield opened its doors for a day of reflection today after the stabbing massacre that left six people dead and 12 others in hospital. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns and Police Commissioner Karen Webb were among those who toured the eerily quiet shopping centre. Shops remained closed while dignitaries and members of the public paid tribute to the victims, leaving wreaths and flowers. Many were in tears and hugging as they lined up to sign a condolence book. Meanwhile, the bishop, brutally stabbed while delivering a sermon at a church in Western Sydney, has spoken for the first time today since the attack, revealing he forgives his alleged attacker. In a video uploaded to the Christ the Good Shepherd Church's social media accounts, Orthodox Assyrian Bishop Mar Mari Emanuel reassured people he was recovering from his injuries and urged them not to return to evil. New South Wales Police Commissioner Karen Webb spoke today about the riot in Wakeley on Monday night following the stabbing attack at the church. She said 42 detectives were working to identify those responsible for the riot. Police are looking for around 50 people, some of who had disguised themselves. In response to both of these shocking attacks, Premier Chris Minns fronted the media to talk about the state's knife laws.
Given these very serious criminal attacks in the last week, of course a responsible government would look at the existing legislation and see whether potential changes could help prevent a similar attack.
Minns said the New South Wales Sentencing Council was looking at knife-related offences and will report back to his government, which could mean tougher sentences for these crimes. The New South Wales Premier also took aim at big social media platforms today, criticising what he said was callous indifference for still hosting violent footage on their platforms as Sydney grapples with the fallout from a mass murder and a terror attack. French construction worker Damien Guéraud, who was dubbed Bollard Man after footage emerged of him holding back the Bondi Junction attacker, was offered a permanent visa for his heroics by Prime Minister Anthony Albanese earlier this week. It prompted shopping centre security guard Mohammed Dahar to ask if such a reward would be bestowed upon him after he was taken to hospital after confronting attacker Joel Couchy during his stabbing rampage on Saturday. Dahar is in Australia on a graduate visa, which is due to expire within the month. Well, it looks like Albo has granted that request. Here's what the PM had to say today.
One of the real first responders who injured, along with his friend who lost his life, the Pakistani gentleman who's recovering in hospital, who was working as a security guard there at Westfield, he's come out and said and flagged the prospect of his own citizenship. Is that something that you'd entertain, particularly given the sacrifices that these two men made?
Yes, we certainly will.
Rewarding incredible bravery is a rare bright spot in an otherwise dark week for the nation.
For the other sort of AIs out there, these so-called large language models, I've not found the engineering to be reliable. And the hallucination, it unfortunately hallucinates most when you least want it to hallucinate.
Yeah.
So when you ask important, difficult questions, that's when it tends to be confidently wrong.
That's Elon Musk talking about the problem with existing artificial intelligence in the marketplace. As you heard earlier, Chris Minns had a crack at social media platforms today, so I reckon he probably won't be stoked to hear Elon Musk's X, formerly known as Twitter, is having some serious problems with its own AI function. X has soft launched the new feature for premium users, an advanced chatbot named Grok. Those with access to X Premium will see a different version of the Explore tab on the sidebar with AI-generated headlines and stories. So how good is Grok at replacing the work of journalists? Grok's main advantage over ChatGPT, for example, is a much more dynamic information database with X's AI capable of authoring up-to-date sports reports using search results and posts from users on the app to build out the articles. If you tweet about it, Grok can use it to form its article. The implications of such a system are obvious and dangerous. It's already caused issues, with Mashable reporting Grok had hallucinated an Iranian attack on the Israeli city of Tel Aviv and then pushed that headline to potentially millions of users amid dense regional conflict. When The Nightly prompted Grok to create a match report for the Matildas match against Mexico, it produced mostly competent copy, albeit with errors, stilted prose, and ideas that it had clearly lifted from other outlets. The biggest blunder was listing Katrina Gorry as both a star performer in the game and also being out injured. Now imagine that sort of accuracy applied to global news where there are literally lives at stake. That's a scary proposition. Collingwood legend Nathan Buckley has been forced to sell a treasure trove of personal AFL memorabilia, including the Guernsey he wore in his historic Norm Smith medal-winning performance in Collingwood's 2002 grand final loss after the end of his 18-year marriage. Match-worn jumpers, playing socks, tracksuits, signed footballs and playing cards are among more than 200 items listed in the Nathan Buckley collection by Melbourne auctioneers Lesky Auctions. Auctioneer Charles Lesky said Buckley was unlikely to ever sell the prized possessions were it not for the end of his marriage in 2020. Buckley and his wife Tanya Minichi split in late 2020, the year after the then coach of Collingwood spent much of the season interstate due to COVID restrictions. A number of pieces from his playing days at the Magpies are on offers to bidders, including his framed Guernsey from the club's 2002 grand final defeat to the Brisbane Lions. The starting bid for the jumper is $2,400, but it's estimated to sell for between $3,000 and $5,000. Some of the items have already had bids placed on them, including footy shorts, Collingwood kit bags, a Brisbane Bears branded Dreiser bone from 1993, tracksuits and signed Sherrins from Buckley's milestone games. The collection even extends beyond the AFL, with Buckley selling off signed cricket, rugby league and union merch. Also among the miscellaneous lots is a custom-made jersey made by a group of friends to try to get Buckley to play on their indoor soccer team. It's already received a bid for $40.
I worked with a massive asshole, and yeah, now I definitely have a no assholes policy. The chapter on said asshole is chapter 23. That guy was a massive asshole.
That's Aussie comedy and film superstar Rebel Wilson a few weeks back talking about the chapter in her upcoming book Rebel Rising devoted to Sacha Baron Cohen. Well, now Wilson has cancelled a string of East Coast shows in the wake of that dispute with Borat. Joining me in the studio is online editor David Johns. Johnsy, what do we know about Rebel pulling the pin on these shows?
Well, look, obviously there's been a lot of controversy about her book. Most of these shows have been sold out, by the way. I believe one of them was going to be at the Sydney Opera House, so they're quite a big deal. What I understand is that people who have bought tickets are about to be informed that the shows are not going ahead and they're going to get an automatic refund.
Yeah, right. Well, people are missing out because I've got a little bit of information from Ticketmaster on what the shows were going to be. They were billed as an emotional roller coaster with a refreshingly candid, funny and inspiring conversation about her forthcoming book and her unconventional journey to Hollywood success and self-love. Ticketmaster says that Rebel will speak for the first time about the most personal and important moments in her life, from fertility issues, weight gain and loss, to sexuality, overcoming shyness and dealing with rejection. Apparently, there's an anecdote about Brad Pitt in the show, and it was supposed to be an intimate evening with Rebel where she takes us on a journey that'll show us how to love ourselves while making us laugh uncontrollably.
Look, as someone in the media, it's been an emotional rollercoaster following the Rebel Wilson stories over the last few weeks. It all started when she came out on Instagram. You heard that reel at the start and actually pointed Sacha Baron Cohen as the asshole that she said that she had worked with before. And she sort of went on to say that he basically encouraged her to get naked for a future sex scene that he wanted to film. And then he encouraged her to do a sex act on camera, according to Rebel Wilson. He's vehemently denied these claims, by the way, and apparently has hired some lawyers to try and get a bit of an injunction going.
It's really been a big saga. And then, of course, in the background of all of this, Isla Fisher split with Sacha Baron Cohen, although that might have predated this book drama, but certainly it became public after the book drama emerged. All around their collaboration on the film The Brothers Grimsby, from a few years back, which is a terrible, terrible movie. It's by the by. And so what's your sense? Are these shows likely to come back when a publication date is announced for the book?
Look, I think with what we've seen with the way that Rebel's been teasing out publicity around a book, the shows absolutely will be rescheduled at some point. You know, like, people are reading the Rebel Wilson stuff with great fascination at the moment. I can see, because we've seen the numbers on the stories, people are lapping it up. And I think that she knows that, and I think that she's taking full advantage of that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, keeping them wanting more is the old adage in the entertainment industry, and cancelling the shows, I think, will probably only ramp up the demand when the shows eventually happen. Thanks, David Johns, online editor, for joining us in the studio. And that, folks, is today's show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join me tomorrow on The Nightly Five.
The Nightly Five podcast is brought to you by Seven West Media. For all these stories and more, head to thenightly.com.au, helping you get in front of tomorrow.